Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Good afternoon, right across the Triple M network. Hour two of our show, the Sunday Sinbin, Paul Kent, Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Now, we kick off our rugby league coverage again on Thursday evening with the Broncos and Parramatta right across the Triple M network. So you can catch that game right here. If you're a shift worker, you can't get near the TV, you want to listen to it, well, you'll get it right here. Let's now talk to the coach of the mighty Parramatta Eels, Brad Arthur. Welcome to the Sunday Sinbin.
Afternoon, boys. How you going?
Very well, Brad. A lot's been said about this game to kick us off, which is a hell of a good game to start. But for you blokes in all of this, it's a trip to Brisbane.
Yeah. Oh, look, we had a bit of practice in round two. We went to Gold Coast, the Titans, and, you know, we sort of out of Bankstown, jumped on the plane, arrived, jumped on a bus, straight to the ground for a couple of hours before kickoff and straight out of there. So it worked actually quite smoothly, and both the NRL, the Titans and our club done a good job to get us in and out.
Yeah, Brad, what are you expecting from the Broncos? Do you go back and look at the tapes from, you know, round one and two, or, you know, you just, you know, treat it like the first game of the season?
Oh, look, we're going to, in terms of our approach, we have to, as far as we're concerned, go back and start over again. You know, we've lost a bit of momentum. Yep. We'll have to go back and put all those building blocks in place. I'm sure the Bronx would be thinking along the same lines. But, you know, I feel like just watching them this year, they've played some good footy. They're getting more pass on the ball, you know, getting out to their edges. A lot of sort of, you know, half-field position shift into a long shift, you know. So they're doing a lot of shift on shift, which is moving defences around and generating some ruck speed for them.
Brad, when the draw came out, I imagine you must have been happy.
Oh, look, it's, you know what, the good thing about the draw is, for us anyway, that we get to play at Bankwest a fair bit. We don't get to leave Sydney until we have to go to New Zealand, maybe at the end of the year. But, you know, outside of that, I think we lose any advantage or massive advantage we had at Bankwest, because without the 20 or 30,000 fans, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
But it's what it is, you know, like from week to week, you could be playing a team without their best player, you could be playing them at full strength, you could be coming off a hide, and, you know, they could be, you know, from one week to the next. So I don't think it matters from week to week.
Yeah, and also I think too is other teams enjoy playing at Bankwest so much, that sort of half diminishes your advantage as well, because it's not a ground they sit down and think, oh, geez, why do we have to play hit there today? They actually quite enjoy the experience.
Yeah, well, it's a great facility, and, you know, it's, you know, on both sides of the tunnel are exactly the same, so there's no advantage to us over another team.
Yeah.
The only advantage we do really get is on game day with our fans, but, you know, we're not going to have that, so it's going to be similar for both teams.
The bookies put you in as favourites. What did you think of that?
Oh, I didn't know that, but, you know what, we don't read into it too much because we can't afford to. We've played two games. We need to concentrate on, you know, our week-to-week performances, and probably the thing that we need to concentrate on, and we missed an opportunity after round two, was on the back of a good performance where we sort of, the scoreline blows out at the end of the game, we have a tendency to try and start the game the next week in the same fashion without going back and building the right. So we missed a bit of an opportunity to see if we'd learnt some lessons from last year, but we'll hopefully we get another chance at some stage throughout the year to put that in practice.
Brad, were you happy with the way all your players come back? Did they come back better than expected, or just a little bit down?
Look, I thought they'd come back really good, because we've developed plenty of trust over especially the last couple of years with the group that we've got and the professionalism in them. But they come back excellent, and probably better than I thought, some of them. We had 9 blokes run personal best in a generic test that I think every NRL club does, a 1.2, and we had 4 or 5 blokes that were like a second or two off it, you know. And, you know, Micah took a minute off his time, you know, and he's not an endurance player. He's a power athlete, so he's never going to score great and those sort of things, but he took a minute off his time, you know, which is huge for us. So we'll be able to get him to do more of his quality.
I remember years ago, Brad, Parramatta Stadium there, Ray Price, remember he was making a comeback for Wakefield Trinity, and he came along and started training with the Eels to get fit again. And the Eels back then used to do a 2,800-metre field test. And Ray Price ran a time that was so far below his personal best because he didn't have weekly grind. He was in such good shape. Everyone went away and went, wow. And John Maney said to me later, he said, "Mate, I'm sure he did one lap less than he should have." so might be, well, you might just have to measure your little one there if you're getting too many personal bests.
The thing is, they all do it together. It's pretty hard between the budget.
Yeah.
What's the latest on your little hooker, Reid Marnie? Brad, will he be right for Suncorp and the Broncos?
Yep. We trained yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, had a really good hit out and was quite physical. Our Reggie boys really give it to us yesterday, and so got quite intense at times. So it was a really, really good test for Reid, and he got through it. Look, in terms of his injury, he's fine. It's just going to be, he's not going to be at the fitness standards that he would record, that he expects of himself, you know, those first couple of games, just because he's going to be a bit down on match conditioning. But, you know, we'll take some precautions with him, you know, probably only playing 50, 60 minutes first game.
So what do you use, Ray Stone as your alternative dummy half?
Yeah, Stoney will come off the bench and give us, you know, a bit of time there, just either side of half time. But Reid is too important to us to throw out. And it's not his foot that we're worried about. We're just trying to expect him to go 80 straight up with limited training. We're putting him at risk in other areas.
What about the Broncos? What's your mail out of there? Are you expecting Matt Lodge to play?
We got told that he probably would line up. So that makes him, you know, like their forward pack's very strong, so that helps them. But we can't really focus too much on what team presented to us until we really get the team Tuesday afternoon, and by then all our preparation's pretty much done anyway. So we're preparing that he'll be in the team, but there's a couple of handy players there that we've got to keep our eye on in the starting lineup in the forwards, and then also, you know, Milford, we're going to have our eyes on him if they're fit.
Brad, just to your coaching philosophy, are you one of those coaches that likes to change things around a bit according to who you're playing and who's playing where, or are you more about, look, I'm just going to pick the same team and we're going to play a similar game plan and we just go out and make sure that we do what we do right?
It's a bit of both, Kenny. We've got a bit of a blueprint on how we like to play with the football, how we like to start a game, and then, there's periods where we'll look at move teams around a bit more. But we will come up with a couple of specifics for, you know, some teams are really good from a shorter field position defensively, some teams are better from a, you know, wider field position. So in terms of where we play from and who we might target, but overall, our principles stay the same, with especially in attack and in defence, they never change our principles. We do like to mix it up a touch, but overall, we try and keep it as simple as we can and make sure we can get our blueprint right every week. Well, we give ourselves a pretty good chance.
We're all pretty impressed with Mitch Moses, the way he began the year. Have you had a chat to him about making sure that, mate, you know, you've had some time off, but let's pick up where we left off?
Yeah, look, his first game against the Dogs, he sort of sat back and just got himself into the game. So I'm thinking that we'll probably just, you know, for the Broncos game, he'll make sure that we complete our sets and turning the ball over on our terms. And he just started to come to his own a little bit at the back end of that Titans game. I wouldn't expect him to kick off there straight away, but if he can make sure that he's controlled and composed with our game planning and make sure we stick to it, that's going to be the key for him. But I think the biggest improvement in Mitch so far is his defence. Like I'm really challenging him to defend tough. And while ever he has that mentality to defend tough and chase his own kicks, I think that'll bring his attack into the game.
So, Brad, what's the key for Parramatta this year? Like, if you're sitting here now talking to us, this competition's about to resume, and you're looking at Parramatta as premiers at the end of the season, what is key for you to get right?
Our ability to back up good performances. So, like I said earlier, the games last year where we had to play tough, grinding football right to the last minute, we tended to start the games the next week exactly the same, and it put us in a really good stead. But then all our games that sort of finished with a blowout scoreline at the last 20 minutes, which, you know, you've got to work hard to get to that, we weren't prepared the next week to go back and start exactly with the same mentality. We thought we could just turn up, and on the games where we got beat and we should games last year, we probably either should have won or we give ourselves a chance. It's just because we had the wrong mentality to start the game. So that's going to be the key for us, is making sure that week to week we go back, we restart, and we earn the right.
And as a coach, how difficult is that to instill in your players?
We've got to practice our training, and as soon as, you know, there's signs of it, you know, we've got to nip it in the bud, but we've also got to make sure our key playmakers and our spine are on the same page and actually agree with what I'm, you know, what we're pushing with them, but also agree with, yeah, that is something that we need to improve, and then it's up to them to drive it, because whatever mentality and how they play, it usually is a reflection of the team, and the team will follow suit.
Hey, Brad, with, mate, just going back to the Broncos, are you a chance of looking at last year's semi-final? What was it, 58-0, and just showing the boys and say, hey, boys, this this attacking performance would be nice?
Yeah, look, things don't always pan out that way, but I always, whether it doesn't matter if we're playing the Bronx or whoever, I always go back and watch previous games against them, because teams are usually reasonably similar from year to year and have their traits, and, you know, there's some things that work against some teams and some that don't. So I've watched our games and I know what did work against them, but I'm sure they were aware of that as well. Yeah, so, you know, we're a team that doesn't matter who we play, we like to, if once we've earned the right, we like to put a bit of shift and pass the football. I don't want to lock our boys into not being able to play. And, you know, I think in the first two rounds, we ended up with the most offloads and the most shifts and passes in those first two rounds, even though we hadn't really focused on it. So we've got a skill set in our team that I don't want to coach out of them.
Just on that game from last year's finals, it was a day game, BA. Do you speak to your players at all about that and about the fact that the Broncos will clearly be using that as motivation, because there was a hell of a lot of fallout after that particular match, and there were headlines for months to come?
Yeah, no, we won't talk about it. The boys are aware of it. The boys know it was a pretty special night for us, and everything sort of went to our plan, and it doesn't always go like that, but we've been on the end of it and the receiving end of it as well. You know, we went up to Suncorp in the Magic last year, and the Storm put 50 or 60 on us, so we've been on the receiving end, and we're not using it as, well, we're not talking about the Broncos using it as extra motivation. You know, we have to go up there, and they're a different team playing some really good football, and we've got to earn the right and the respect from Broncos, you know, from the kickoff.
Just on that Broncos too, Brad, when you look at their pack, like, what goes through your mind? It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's young and athletic and it's big, you know. So their best football skill, you know, well ahead of them, but they've got a really good, big mobile forward pack. You see they're doing a lot of passing with the football at the moment as well, so they've obviously got a reasonable skill set about them. You know, and Sieves is obviously doing a good job with those young blokes, making sure they're just not battering around, so they can actually pass the ball to.
Brad, pardon, for obvious reasons, we're seeing that the Warriors can now take some players on loan. How do you feel about that moving forward? Do you think there should be more of that sort of thing among NRL clubs?
I don't really know the answer. I'm not, you know, what message are you sending your players if you let them go for 4 weeks and if you can't get them back? And, yeah, look, we've worked really hard with the squad that we've put together over the last couple of years to make sure we've got plenty of depth and plenty of quality in it. And it's going to take way more than 17 players to push for a top four or make sure that we're out there at the back end of the season. We're going to need, in the current format of, you know, playing 18 games straight, I think, you know, we're going to need anywhere from 26 to 28 players to get us through the end of the year. So I'm counting on all our blokes being fit and healthy and being available to help out throughout the year.
But on the flip side, you could actually go out and get someone if you need them.
Yeah, you could. We're fortunate we don't need to go and get anyone at the moment. So the selfish part of us as a club is, well, we're happy with our squad and, you know, that's how we want to stay.
All right, Brad, good to catch up, mate, and best of luck on Thursday night.
All right, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Good on you, mate. Brad Arthur there joining us. He is the head coach of the Parramatta Eels. And, yeah, that game will be in full live right here on the Triple M Network, so I hope you can join us for that. This is Sunday Sinbin with Paul Kent, James Triceps, Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Cody Walker's street fight. And we're going to have our episode of Maroon's Pub Quiz coming up as well. So that's what we'll do for you shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin, boys. I want to say a quick g'day to old mate Andy Raymond, who was finished with Fox after 23 years. And I think that I wish him all the best, Andy, because he's a good fella. But, I mean, 23 years in the one job in the media is quite an achievement. So Just want to shout out to him and wish him all the best for the future, boys. As we talked about Cody Walker, we all got to see that video of that street fight earlier in the week in his hometown of Casino, which has resulted in Cody getting a 2-game suspension. But once again, Hoops, another fine that is suspended. What's the point of having the fine if the fine is suspended? Talk us through the whole thing.
Well, obviously, this video emerged earlier in the week, Anthony, and it was Cody before Christmas and before the COVID-19 shutdown. He was back up in northern New South Wales in his hometown of Casino. I believe one of his relatives had actually committed suicide and he was attending his cousin's funeral. Another one of his cousins was involved in this altercation that was out in the street in the middle of the night, whatever time it was. And Cody's run in and somebody videoed it, and it fell into the wrong hands, the video, and I think you'll find that it was actually one of Cody's previous agents who decided that they wanted to try and blackmail $20,000
out
of Cody.
Hoops, this is the part that we haven't spoken about enough. Talk us through that. So a former agent of Cody Walker's is behind all this blackmail.
Well, that's alleged. That's alleged. The theory, allegedly, yes, is that Cody's former manager somehow got hold of this video, and as a result, a request was put to Cody and his current agent that they needed to find $20,000. That wasn't forthcoming. Sure. I think that's when Cody has gone to Wayne Bennett and gone to the club, and Kenty, you seem to be pretty across the details in terms of Wayne's involvement. And
oh, well, Wayne, look, Cody came out at some point and said that he told South, and the integrity unit said, well, we didn't know about it. And South sort of said, well, who knew? And it turned out he told Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett kept him to himself to keep favour with the player. I didn't believe it was big enough worth reporting, even though the rules stipulated that that there was no discretion. It has to be reported. That's why South have now been fined $20,000. Wayne's not regretful about it at all. He thinks he did the right thing.
I don't mind that from Wayne. I know you'll disagree, but I don't mind that. He's standing up for his player.
Yeah, I get it.
And in fairness, we didn't know about the video at that time. He probably hadn't. Wayne wouldn't have seen the video. Cody's just gone and told him that, you know, there's been an incident.
Yeah, look, I get why it was made. Yeah. The fact is that the rules say it has to happen. You know, Wayne, he ran the gauntlet. He took the chance it wouldn't get out. It got out. You pay the price. I'm not outraged either way by it. Yeah. I'm ambivalent to it. The most outrageous thing was the street fight. It was like two blokes, they were best mates having a fight.
But isn't the most outrageous thing that a former manager of an NRL player has tried to blackmail him? Isn't that the most outrageous thing?
Only in rugby
welcome
league,
to
Anthony.
Rugby league, Anthony. Look,
only in rugby league.
That sort of stuff. Look, that's not right. And it was pretty dumb play, to be honest. I don't know. I'm wary of commenting on that because of
alleged.
Oh, even that doesn't.
Oh, mate, it was.
If you got it wrong, you
allegedly,
get it wrong.
It was happening behind the scenes. Well, it was happening.
If it was happening, allegedly. It's happening. But that's I don't care. It really doesn't worry me. I think the whole thing's just a bit of a. It's unfortunate. The game didn't need it. We can all move on from it. South Sydney, they've learned a little lesson out of it. Cody Walker, I admired the way he handled it, the way he just stuck his hand up and said, look, I'll take, he didn't make excuses. He just said it happened. I'll cop whatever punishment was coming my way. He gave his reasons for it without asking for a sob story about to be let off. He just was very matter of fact, and I think he handled it like a man, and I respect that. I think good on him.
Gordy, you haven't said much, mate. Did you want to add?
Yeah, no, you know, you'd probably hate to be in that predicament. I'd probably do the same thing as Cody, you know, like if it's...
Well, he didn't need to be there, Gordon. Like, thing I say is, like, if you watch the fight, then the full fight goes for 5 minutes, but there's not a solid blow landed in it. It's not like one... You can
and
understand.
His mate was winning anyway. The bloke that he stuck up for was winning anyway. But, you know, what I just get it, you know, like, you've got alcohol in you, so you don't make the best decisions, you know, and your emotions are running because you've just been at a funeral. But... Yep. You know, where are his minders or his family then? Mm. And the person that videoed it, why would you video it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's what they do these days. That's it. Look, let's remember, last year in what was it, Martin Place, a bloke's gone berserk with a knife.
Yeah.
It took a bloke in his 50s to go and throw a chair at him.
Because everybody else had their phones out.
All the young blokes who should have been in there, who were physically capable of getting in and doing something, they all pulled their phones out, hoping they could sell it to Channel 9 that night.
Disgraceful.
Well, seriously, the priorities are so out of whack. Mm.
Up until the karate kick with Cody, the actual fight itself was shades of Anthony Maroon and Scotty Geddes down at Maroon Beach hitting the pads.
The bloke that should have been throwing punches was trying to wrestle, and the bloke that should have been wrestling was throwing punches. Like neither of them knew what they were doing.
But okay, so we're all done with that, boys. Let's talk about the game itself, which is coming up this Friday evening. The Rabbitohs and the Roosters, the two great old rivals. The Roosters, of course, haven't struck a blow in the opening two rounds. The Rabbitohs won from two. It should be a cracking good game. Obviously, no Cody Walker.
Unlikely James Roberts.
Yeah.
So I think Souths are in a bit of a hole, to be honest.
This is the issue with what's
happened. See, South Sydney had handled it. They could have handled it and would have been dealt with by a fine. There's no doubt that the two-game suspension was the fact that it was not passed on, and that contributed to the penalty. But they've put themselves in a hole now. Like, it's going to be very tough taking on a Roosters side that knows it has to make up ground.
Who will play six for South?
Well, they're talking about that Troy Dargan playing six.
Yeah.
He's a rookie. Now you got, look, clearly the kid's got talent, and they all say, a lot of people are looking forward to watching him actually have a go. But I tell you what, it's a big game, and they need Latrell firing. They need him just hit the ground running. And I know Wayne Bennett's guaranteed that Latrell will play fullback. What he hasn't guaranteed is he'll play entire game at fullback.
Because we saw him pick Alex Johnson on the wing.
Yeah.
And so he'll have the option at some stage if Latrell
will do it.
Needs a rest.
There's no doubt he'll do it, because what we saw in the first two games, Latrell couldn't get out the 80 minutes at fullback. Yeah, he should have spent much of this time, instead of riding dirt bikes, he should have spent much of this time trying to get a bit leg fit. Yeah, and starting to get a bit of condition so he can help out this team that wants him to play fullback for 80 minutes. Because, look, I doubt he'll get 80 minutes out on the weekend.
How do you feel
Did you boys hear the rumour that apparently Latrell, did he text one of his teammates and say, are we allowed to train?
Yes.
Yeah,
that is the talk,
okay.
Yes. So yeah, after the social distancing furor and the photos and the videos where they shot themselves in the foot by putting it all up on social media themselves, or Josh Adokar did.
So not having a preseason because he was negotiating his first 2 weeks, he was unimpressive.
Yep.
And then through the whole COVID, didn't really break a sweat.
After those videos and all of that emerged on social media, the talk is that, he then text some of the other Souths players saying, oh, hey, boys, is it okay if we train on our ace?
Well, the other thing, too, is that when they were allowed to finally resume training, he laboured. He wasn't able to even keep pace with his teammates. He was noticeably out the back when they were doing their conditioning drills. Mm. Now,
we should just point out here, too, because we'll get accused of just kicking Latrell for the sake of it. That's not how it is. Like, as long as South Sydney train at a Redfern Oval, Anthony, you know how easy it is to go. Any member of the public can go down and watch what's going on at Redfern Oval. This is not a let's bash Latrell for sport and for fun exercise. It's merely pointing out exactly what happened during that session.
Yeah, but the other part to it, though, Hoops, is at his best, Latrell's a test player and an origin player, and at the moment he's neither because he's let other parts of his game down.
Yeah.
And part of it's his condition. John Bateman's allowed to go and call you a shit journo. He can do whatever he wants on that, right? That's...
Could be a bit of truth to it, Paul.
Well, look, that's up for debate. That's up for debate. But the fact is, he said it. You can't have it both ways. You can't, as a professional footballer, part of your work condition is you're in shape.
Yeah.
Now, I know Les Boyd 100%. Sued years ago when he got called fat by a journo and actually won the case because the judge had no idea what he was talking about. But the fact is, part of your work condition is that you have to turn up in condition.
Oh, I think as a South supporter, Latrell Mitchell, he owes us big time. I mean, he owes the Rabbitohs big time.
You're not just any South supporter either. You've got the SFC number two number plates. You've got the tattoo.
Well, thanks for putting my number plate
that's
over.
Right. You've got the tattoo all over the bicep and the tricep. Mm. You are red and green to the bone.
Yeah.
It was going to be just the bicep. They couldn't have enough room, so they had to wrap it around.
Anyway, you palookas.
No, on a serious note, the point you were making about the bunnies is you feel as a member and a supporter.
He owes big time, especially, after this trip to the mid-north coast. I mean, in the middle of all this, and then trying to explain it off as some sort of a racial attack. You know, I mean, this kid, He's come to South. You would think if he's in the right frame of mind, if he's been groomed right, if he's been educated and taught right, he would be saying, this mob have given me an opportunity to redeem myself. And all these blokes in the team who he would know prior to getting to the Rabbitohs, he'd have to think if he was that, if he had any sort of gumption as a human being, which I'm sure he does, I don't know him, he'd have to be saying to himself, I owe these blokes. He would have to know that Rabbitohs and Roosters hate each other, and he's now over here at the Rabbitohs.
Well, Gaygoy, well, can he turn that around in just 12 months, though? Because he's hated South for a long, long time now.
Who's that?
Luttrell, when he was playing for Roosters. Yeah. I'm warning you.
Oh, right.
No, but look, Gaygoy said this week that he's been training really hard, that he's taken it personally. So, good.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Good. And,
well, you've got to find something that drives you through the preseason and drives you through training. You get paid to train. You don't get paid to play footy. That's the part that you love doing. Yeah. And no one like, mate, actually, there's a few players I played with, but the Steve Renouf's, the Alan Langer's, yeah, a lot of those guys, I didn't like going and running, but it's a necessity to be at your best.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing.
And I think Luttrell's got to want to get himself in peak physical condition.
And you only need to train as hard during the week as you need to be at peak condition on the weekend.
Yeah.
You don't have to train any harder than that, but if you're any less than that, it's unacceptable.
And I have to say, if I'm speaking as a South supporter, not only this business with Luttrell, but certainly Cody Walker, I mean, I know what's happened, the situation with one of his relatives died, and God rest his soul, but in the Fair Dinkum department, that's not, I mean, anyone can find an excuse for bad behaviour. This is two South players that are in the media for the wrong reason. And I think in the professional, as a professional NRL player, certainly we don't need this in our club. And my club in the last 10, 15 years has certainly gone out of their way to stamp that sort of nonsense out.
Well, look, I think the club's learned a lesson, Anthony. I think they're moving on. I think it's Bennett's job now to pull them all into line. There's no doubt he'll rally them. They'll be in a good frame of mind when they run out against the Roosters. I think they will be competitive for a large part of the game. But I think when you look at the two rosters that are going to trot out, there's a clear advantage there for the Roosters. I think they'll be motivated because they've got ground to make up. They know if they win this game, then suddenly they're on level pegging with the Rabbitohs.
Yeah.
Who are another top eight team. So that's their mindset. That's the issue for the Rabbitohs. Bennett's got to get them now right. So come the opening Friday night, that they are ready to go and ready to play and ready to stay in the contest for the entire 80 minutes.
Boys, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and lighten things up again with Maroons Pub Quiz. It'll be Hoops taking on the world champion, Paul Kent. And so too, our little battler up there in Brisbane, the great Gordon Tallis, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Great feedback about our show coming in right across the Triple M network at Triple M_NRL. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. Time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Well, welcome back, boys. The quiz is so far our undisputed champion has been Paul Kent, who's won it about six times. You haven't won it at all, I don't think. Oh, you've won it once.
I did have a victory early on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think you haven't won it at all, Gordy.
So, Gordon whatever. Did win 1 year as well.
He
did win
1 year
as well.
1 year.
One week.
Hey, mate, I'm the quiz master. Okay. If I said he didn't win, he didn't win. Prize today, courtesy of our referee's boss man, Silvio Del Vecchio. $30 voucher to spend at his Central Coast laser treatment shop. They specialise in Brazilian waxing. And also, they'd like to point out to you, Gordon Tallis, they do double chin sculpting. So they might be able to sort something out with you as well. All right?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Is that the full body Brazilian or the half body?
You can get both. You can get a half, you can get a full. You can, if you want, you could say Brazilian off half a side and just go one side au natural, other side, half Brazilian. Anyway, let's do the questions now. They're all rugby league based. You know that your name is your buzzer. First to get three right, and your time starts now, you palookas. Question number one. In the NRL, who does Inari Tuala play for?
Hoops.
Yes.
Newcastle.
1-0 to Hoops. Question number two. The late Alan McMahon played 110 games for
Paul.
What? Yes, Paul.
Balmain.
1-1. Okay, question number three. What team lost the 2011 grand final?
Hoops.
Hoops.
Oof.
Five.
Warriors.
Yes, 2-1. He's on, are you, just test your buzzer, please, Gordon.
Gordon.
Don't be embarrassed that you have a...
Gordon.
Okay. Righto. Now, here we go. This could be the hardest or easiest question of the day. Your chance to get on the board here, Gordon. The score is 2-1 to Hoops. What North Sydney Bears player of the 90s released a single?
Paul.
Gordy.
Paul.
Jason Martin.
2-0.
Take right. me to the top.
Okay. Yeah.
To take me to the top.
Okay.
Can you give us a couple of bars of that? After
I don't really know
Anthony?
It. I might be able to find it. I'll get one it. Of our
Molly Meldrum. For the Cowboys
Molly Meldrum
too, didn't
produced
he?
It.
Did he?
Did he play for the Cowboys
he did
as well?
Too, mate.
Yeah, and he played for Newcastle.
Yeah. Where is Jason Martin now?
Living in Western Australia.
Is that right? Mines or something?
No.
His second hit was Umbop.
He actually still plays. He plays in pubs and that.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does
plays
he
really? Yeah.
Okay. There you
He's
go.
He's very talented. Good singer. Plays guitar well.
All right. This could be the one. This will be the one. Gordon, you need to get in first to stop this being the... you know, the one that wins it. On your buzzers, who scored the first try in last year's NRL Grand Final? Who scored the first try in last year's NRL Grand Final? Five, four.
Hoops.
Yes.
Sam Barrels.
He's done it. Well, here you go. You've won yourself a Brazilian up there at Silvio Del Vecchio's House of Laser.
Thank you, Anthony. You know what I'm going to do with that?
Yeah,
I'm going to donate it straight back to your very good self.
Okay,
because you've done such a good job throughout this COVID period holding this whole Quizmaster segment together. Mm-hmm. You're an inspiration to all of us.
No, so well, mate, you're an inspiration.
I want to give you the Silvio voucher.
I'm proud to be your mentor.
Just got a, I think it looks like an email here from Matt from Collaroy.
Yeah.
My mate gave Maroonie South tattoo. It wasn't until he told my mate who it was that he realised it wasn't a female. Judging by his arms and haircut. By the way, paid cash.
Matt from Collaroy, you're barred. all right, boys and girls, we're going to take a break. Mm. We're going to come back and we're going to say goodbye to Kenty as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis. Now, for those who don't know, there's just been a little bit of, not controversy, but just a bit of a storm in the teacup here. Canberra Raiders player John Bateman suggesting on Twitter that, referring to our man Hoops, you better stick to polishing that bald head, you big fella. You're crap at being a journo. So that's what John Bateman said about Hoops. And social media has absolutely gone burko with Triple M listeners defending Australia's own James Hooper. Carmine Lupatazzi of Ashfield saying, this is the equivalent of shooting Bambi or booing Santa Claus, what Bateman said about you.
Friend of yours, Carmine?
No, I don't know him from a bar
what
of soap.
What was his surname again?
Lupatazzi, I think is how you say it.
Isn't he an extra out of The Sopranos or something?
No, he was in Godfather 1.
There you go. I don't know who he is.
I don't know who he is. But anyway, moving right along, some NRL news that's just getting around the place. This one sort of caught us a little off guard, I think, Gordon. Andrew McCulloch, after 290 games at the Broncos, he's off to the Knights.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good pickup for the Knights, but it was... He probably had a challenge on his hands to make the Broncos starting side with, you know, the way Turpin finished last year, and Turpin probably got the jump on him, and it was a known fact up here in Queensland that he was going to be starting from the bench. But, you know, I thought that McCulloch could have done a role. He's very popular with his teammates. He's a great fella. So I think it's a pretty good pickup from the Knights. You know, they'll get a real consistent number nine.
Hey, but Gordon, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but I wonder if he would have been a good pickup for your mob at the Titans. Player of that experience in that role.
Yeah, well, you probably didn't know that he was going to be on the market, did you?
Yeah, because
he was
going to Pete there, though.
Yeah, you got Petey there, yeah.
Mm. Is Mitch Rain still there, too?
Yeah, Mitch Rain.
Yeah, so.
Okay, there you go.
But thanks for your concern about the Titans, Anthony.
No,
I really
no worries, mate.
It.
Yeah, no, I'm always looking out for the Titans, hoping that they can win one game in a row at some point this year.
Yeah, well, one is in a row, Anthony.
What? Yeah, exactly, Gordon. I'm being sarcastic.
Are you going to honour that bet?
What bet? You can put your Bondi
you
burger
were
there.
Get a sex change,
we've got
said.
It on the record. We've got the audio.
Yeah.
Was it five games in a row, Gordon?
Oh,
he was going to have a sex change?
Please.
Five games in a row when Joy Arrow was on.
Joy
a
Arrow
of
was
ago.
On the radio too. I thought it was quite disrespectful.
Mate, if they win five games in a row, I will line up 15 double-decker buses, right? I'll line up 15 double-decker buses and jump them in an HQ Holden station wagon. Okay? That's how.
Well, you'll have your airbags in, so it'll be perfect. You'll have your built-in airbags.
You're an idiot, mate. All right. Okay. A cap, a salary cap on rookie salaries is the next one. I think Fatima might have reported this in the paper this morning. Got any thoughts on this, Hoops?
I was a little bit confused by it all, to be honest, because there was no the Sydney CEO's come up with the idea, but they're not on the record.
Can you explain it for the listeners?
It's a cap that can only earn $105,000 their first year, and it's a stop. Obviously, offers like Payne, the one the Payne Haas, where he's offered what 3-year deal for what was it 6-year deal for $3 million or whatever it was, and Kalen Ponga, after 9 games, signed a $600,000 a year deal with the Knights. You know what? I don't like it. I don't think there should be a cap. If you're an NRL player, there's already a salary cap there. And if a club wants to squeeze you in and they want to gamble on paying you more money, then that's on the club. I do think there should be more limitations put on junior players and how much they're allowed to be paid. I think there should also be limitations on when they're allowed to be signed up by clubs and when they're managed by clubs, because that's what gets a lot of them into trouble. Because silly as they are, they sit there and they'll have a bidding war over a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where that should stop. But if you're paying Haas and you're coming into the NRL, there shouldn't be a cap on how much you can earn your first season. Because the other part to it is this. If there's a cap of $105,000 your first year and you think you're worth $300,000 a year and a club's willing to pay you $300,000 a year, they'll just find that extra $200,000 in ensuing years. So it's fraught with danger, I think.
Another rule.
And maybe like the old apprentice jockeys, you know how like only, like, are they worried that the kids are getting paid too much money, Paul? Is that it? And there's too many?
I don't know what the worry is, whether it's the kids or the clubs.
It's weird.
But it's not, the kids shouldn't have to pay the penalty because the clubs don't have the discipline to curb their spending.
All right, boys, another one. I'll start with you again here, Gordon. The Brisbane Broncos, Jack Bird, keen to continue his career at the Broncos. He has had a wretched run with injuries.
Yeah, he has. And I watched the Broncos trial. I was up in Rockhampton when they played the Rockhampton side, and he was actually really good. He played fullback. He was strong and looked like that he was going to get back, and then he got injured. So I think Jack Bird was maybe going to make a fight for the fullback role, and he may have got it. So it's bad news for Jack, but, you know, who's going to want him? He's been up here, nearly for 3 years, and, I don't know whether he's got in a double digit yet, has he, on the field for the Broncos?
I don't know that he has, mate. Right. But I tell you what, we've got some more rugby league news we might get to very shortly. We're going to take a break, Paul Kent. This is where we say goodbye to you.
Yeah, it's been a great day, Anthony.
It has been a great day with you, old mate.
Next week we'll be talking footy.
I'll catch you on NRL 360.
I'll give you a cheerio. Is that all right?
That'd be lovely if you'd say something nice.
Could you?
Give something I do a plug. Hopefully I'll get it back on deck when COVID-19's over.
Anthony from Little Bay got a cheerio on Fox League Live a couple of Sundays ago with Matty Johns and Fletch and Hindy.
Oh, about the grinder thing.
Yeah. Do you know that grinder? Anthony from Little Bay?
No, certainly wasn't me. Because they said he's got three kids, I've only got two.
Some chap from Little Bay was having an issue with a grinder addiction.
Right. Okay, well, we might talk about that off air, I think. But anyway, we'll see you on Fox League, Paul. We'll take a break, we'll come back. And what we call, Paul, when you're not here, we call it the happy hour. So we're going to come back with the happy hour.
I call it the witching hour because I get in my car and I hear you bagging me near.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.